The topic is a sore topic in many ways. Every time some scandal breaks loose and everybody says it's terrible and so on and so forth. And the question really is there any reason why somebody who's Shomer and Zoyer in many mitzvahs and with Mesiras Nefesh has a problem with this more than anything else? Chazal do say a certain hierarchy of Lashon Hara is Kulam, and the Gemara says Avak Lashon Hara, Gzela is Ruban, Arayis is Mi'utan. So it's not exactly measured with which is the strongest taiva. One would assume that Arayis is the strongest taiva, and yet it's only Mi'utan. Is it the pshat people don't think it's very usur? What exactly are the factors involved? And it's something that sort of hounds us. The more successful we become, the more of an issue becomes. So I'd like to explore two points. One more in terms of, I guess, a fundamental process, and one in terms of a more practical reason for it. Because I don't think, you know, sometimes people, when I was growing up, people didn't know about chatness. People just know it was usher. Nobody knew. And even the people who knew thought it was just like a chumrah of sorts. So that's why they were kind of not zoher. So you needed somebody to get up and to say, Rabbi said there's an issur of shatness and it's terrible and your tefillah's not miskavel and so on and so forth. Hard to say that anyone has those feelings about gneva or gzela, whatever it is. That's hard to say that. So a fiery schmooze on the topic of how terrible gneva is, it's always good to be reminded, but I still don't think that that's the core problem, why we have an issue with it. And I'd like to speak about two things. Again, one is more fundamental to the process, and one is a more in the practical application. The Chazal give us a certain understanding of how we come to be nichshol in arayis. Now, what Chazal are explaining are as follows. Just like when a person catches disease, so one thing we want to look at is what caused the disease, like the bacteria, the virus, etc. And the second question is, why did the immune system fail the person? People have immune systems, and we need to ask ourselves, why was it helpless? Now, Chazal tell us about arayis. Ein adam chote, so when you have something that is a rayas, seichel, if a person would be in his full cognizance, he would say to himself, this is terrible, this is crazy, how can I do it? So there's a ruach shtus that comes into the person and it becomes his ruach. So sometimes you see a teenager, you'll see a teenager who's not stupid, who knows that this is wrong to do and so on, and yet he'll do something crazy. And you say it's like a mishagas got into him. Now, yes, that allows for aveira to happen. The flip side of it is that he knows when he's doing it that it's wrong, and when the excitement evaporates, whether it's a teenager doing something reckless or crazy, or a person being nechsharayis, a person has deep regrets, feels very bad about it, and, you know, he might get sucked into it because he has the pleasure that keeps on pushing him, but at the end of the day, he never loses his seichel and his das. That is the mechanism that allows for arayis to happen, and that's why the Rambam says, for instance, when he speaks about prevention of arayis, he speaks about schok and kalas rosh, margilas adam, brings the Mishnah, and these are mechanisms that infuse a person with a ruach shtus. That is one mechanism for aveira, and that's how arayis is able to happen. For gzela, we have a whole different way in which we manage to work our way around the seichel and dasa person. The pasuk says, "Ki ashochad ya'ave eni pikhim." Shochad distorts the vision of a pikeach, and therefore, what happens is the person begins. It's not as if there's two parts of him, and his seichel says this is crazy, and the ruach shtus says this is exciting. But it's the very core of the person's seichel begins to bend and to twist and to see things in a very different way. The Maral speaks about kashechad yaveini pikhim. He says, why is the oynish that the person become blind? So he says, because that's the process that he initiated in his own neshama. What he did was he took the koach hari'iyah and twisted it. So just like when somebody becomes blind, chas v'shalom, there can be a blindness because the mechanism of the eye has a problem. You have a cataract that clouds the vision or the retina, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes, I know somebody born from you know, Mibet Meleda, she's blind. And the problem, the mechanism of the eye is perfect. The mechanism of the brain, which interprets what the eye is seeing, it doesn't work, whatever it is. So a person takes the mechanism that allows sight, and by playing around with it to see things differently, the person is now incapable of seeing. So the Maral says that what the person did was he blinded himself, and therefore there's a physical einish that fits it. It's more than he did something wrong. Chazal say that the iser of taking shochad is even when you take it to paskin like the party that's right. So l'moshel, Reuven and Shimon come to you to din Torah, and I hear the tainus, I've heard the tainus, and I've seen the evidence, and it's clear that Reuven's right. And Reuven slips me money. So I'd say to myself, you know what? Reuven is right. And he's willing to pay for it, so it's a win-win situation. He's going to win the Torah because he deserves to win, and I'll get paid fairly for it. So that's called shochat. Even to paskin like the side that's tzaddik, you can't, and that's isa shechat. Because shechat turns a situation into it twists the brain so that the brain looks at facts the way it wants them to be. That is the iser of shechat. So b'meila, the shechat, the mechanism through which shochat, through the method through which shochat affects a person, and so to speak, negates the Yetzer Tov, is not by introducing a foreign element into the person, but rather destroying the person's own Tov. It's, if we can use a mashal, one of the reasons why the AIDS virus was so terrible was because it was able to sabotage the person's own antibodies, and the cells that were supposed to defend you became agents of the disease. So ein adoma, when you have a foreign disease that comes into you and it fights, it can overwhelm you and damage you. But when you have something that subverts your own immune system, then you are devastated. It's gone. So in the world of mominess, it is something that is the mechanism that allows a person's defenses to go down is not an outside force that overwhelms the defenses, but it's a corruption of defense itself. Meaning that if a person takes shochat, he's destroyed something in himself that he can't use for any other time either. He begins to see things differently. And Rabbi Pogomansky was one of the giants of in the literary Shiva world pre-war. He was, tells us, Lapotka, he was a guy in Olam, extraordinary figure. He wasn't married till after the war, for a very short time, he was Nifta. And he used to say, he was also a very big Bal Musa. He actually was also Bal Tshuva, by the way. He was not frum until he was about 20, which was, and he became frum, was a guy in Olam, and he was one of the great figures in Shiva world. My father, Chaim Vach, remembered, and anyone who learned in Tells, Slabotka, knows the name of Pogomansky. And he used to say, "Kasheichad ye'avei nepikchim," he says, it doesn't speak about that particular case. He says, you become blind for life. And he would say it in a very picturesque way, from now on, when you walk in the street, you will step on a baby because your vision has become so distorted, you don't see what's going on around you. That is that mechanism. I'd like to add a point of Hesber to why it's like that. The Goyen says, in Mishle, he speaks that there are two fundamental drives for that are for bad in a person, or potentially. One is called koach ha'tavani, which means physical pleasure, physical drives. And then there's koach ha'kaasani, which we would associate with ambition, desire to manifest self, to realize self, things along those nature. One of them gives birth to all of physical averis. So the koach of tavani is the koach of food, drink, women, etc. Anything that gives a person physical pleasure. Koach ha-kaasani is all the midas like kas, kina, sinna. It's where your ego and self don't either want to extend themselves, want to realize themselves, something along those lines. So the Goyen says, Mishle has two constant women that try to lead people astray. There is the woman who is Nachriya, which would translate to be a Goyisha woman, and there is the Isha Zara, someone else's wife. So the Goyen says, a koyach of taiva is nochri to Klal Yisrael. The be'etzim should not have any shaykhs. She's an outsider. Physical pleasures are not the atzmis of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, in a certain sense, he says, a person who is indulgent is furthest away from the core value of Klal Yisrael. The Isha Zara, the Koach Kasani, the Goyen says, that is really the Koach that Ruchnius rests on. Who are you? Don't you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created you to live. Don't you want to live? Don't you want to be? Mr. Shalom speaks about how a person in this world has a problem when he's not chashiv enough. How about in the world to come? The desire to realize self and to make yourself a gavra rabba, in whatever musig you're talking about, is core to Klal Yisrael also. The question is, what realization? What ambition? What does it mean to be great, chashav, and so on? So the Goyen says, physical craving is totally alien to Klal Yisrael's metzias. There's nothing good about it as such, and therefore it's just like he says, a woman who's not Jewish, there's no way to marry her. She's not shayach to you. It's of a different world, of a different kind. The kasani, the woman who is someone else's wife, she could be your wife, she could have been your wife, but right now it's someone else's. So in the kochos hanefesh of greed, ego, realization, there's a place where that's real. A person should say to himself, forever and ever, I'm going to be a nobody. The wanting to be something, realizing yourself, is a core value. But if realizing yourself is driving a fancy car, or having people say, wow, you know, Yehi HaMelech, then we have a problem with it. The desire, the reason why Ruach Shtus is alien, like we described it, it's a different force that comes into a person, and it's outside, it remains an outsider, and when things settle down, you will never mistake it for yourself. A person who's addicted will never mistake, he will kill or die to get what he needs, but he'll never mistake that drink is who he is or drugs is who he is. On the other hand, a person whose money is very much at the heart of a person's sense of self. You know, occasionally a person will steal something because he needs a particular dollar. Most of the time, it's a sense of success. It's a sense of measuring ourselves, of who we are, what we are. We rate things by how much they're worth, and therefore it touches very strongly on kochos hanefesh in a person, that our self, and therefore when I learn to look at it wrong, I distort something in a core of self. So one reason why we're going to have a very hard time dealing with, when a person, for instance, decides he just trade for food or any other temptation, and he says no, afterwards he feels good. I missed out a pleasure I could have had. But when a person resists a good deal, it's a lot more than that. A person is sacrificing a piece of self. Okay, so I'm just another loser. Another, you know, one of those many people sound kind of not very important, nameless, running around, you know, kind of just doing nothing really. And that's a hard one. Success of in a financial area is very much aligned with a person's sense of self. And that's why it becomes so difficult. So A, the drive is a very internal drive that can't be gotten rid of. Two, the effect that it has on the person is, I need, in order to be able to do the avera, I need to play around with it, and so to speak, distort it, and that's how I get around it. So the first reason why this, the nisoyan of honesty is so difficult, is because we're not talking about an external craving or temptation. We're talking about something on a very deep level comes from who a person is, mitzad tov, who a person should be, self-realization. And that, therefore, it's so difficult with. And the mechanism that we utilize to cope with our understanding of right and wrong becomes permanent damage to a person's sense of right and wrong. That's one point I wanted to touch on, which I think is a fundamental point as to why it takes a lot more work to deal with it than it does to stay away from physical temptations. I want to mention another area, but another point which I think is a lot more practical. The practical meaning in the sense of it deals with the practical aspect of it rather than the inner underpinnings. We have a very hard time living with ideas and concepts and translating it into reality. We think with pictures. We think with things, and we need models to emulate. So for instance, tray for food is something that is physical, it's there, we know what it looks like. We've been taught since we're children, this is treif, this heksher is not good, this is good, and so on and so forth. So the picture, the physical picture of something kosher, not kosher, is very, very strongly ingrained in us as a picture. It has very sharp parameters. This is kosher, this is not kosher, this is fleishik, this is milchik, this is machlik, this is shittis, this is stamchol, this is that. We have a very clear sense of it graphically. And therefore, we don't have to use our mind so much. If we stop by a store and we wonder if we can eat or not, we take a look at the tuda, we think of what people said about the store, and the answer is yes or no. In a certain sense, it's easy because we've always been taught that in real life examples. A person knows about arayas. He knows what is aser, what's wrong, and the question is yes or no. But defining arayas is easy. And it's something the person knows, and especially because it's always been fleshed out. It's always been said this and this and this. We now go to a world that is very, very different. Choshen Mishpat in general is very difficult because it's very hard to flesh it out. The cases you talk about in the Gemara have very, very little resemblance to the final halacha. A person can learn in yeshiva, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, Baba Kama, and he never formulated a picture of it in real life. It does not translate in any picture regarding business practice. So telling people something, not telling them, misleading a little bit, giving an impression, is zero. None of that. There are cases of Ono on the Gemara. There is a perek. Most yeshivas don't get to it. They're Bar Metzia there in the beginning, or Shoal, or, it's not. But okay, there are sugis. But again, the cases and the examples are far removed from the cases and examples you'll meet in day-to-day life. So do we have any image in our mind of what's unethical, what's outright gzela, what's Ono? We don't. We have maybe an image of a Gemara, a true case, and nothing over here. Treif is a little kid. It's the same piece of candy, same piece of chalk, same heksha. So is this heksha good or not? It's been the same thing from when you're 5 or 50. That's the same. It's basically the same thing. But over here, we have nothing like it. So we're all of a sudden cast into the world where we have to start thinking and asking ourselves, yes, no, is it such a shaila? Nothing in our mind that's built up over the years saying, no, this is terrible, this is bad. And every case is very different. You have some cases that are fine in Choshen Mishpat, some cases that are over the red line, and some cases that are really bad. And we almost have, even if we ask a shayla once, twice, three times, we have a very, very hard time applying it the fourth and fifth and sixth time. That's why a dayan is a very chash of a position, and two, no two dayanim may even tell you the same thing in the same case. It varies in so many factors that case by case, whatever dayan paskins, that's what you go by. So we have a real hard time with being able to do something with it, because you don't have those physical models. That's one area that is deficient in our upbringing. Now, it's very difficult to create situations where we could teach it. But I'm just saying, it's a mitzias, is we have nothing, that we walk into a world where we are totally immersed in Choshen Mishpat, and we have no previous graphic models of things that are treif, and things that are kosher, and things that are chatchil, and things that are yevet. A second area, and it's a child grows up, most of what inspires us and gives us and gives us models are stories that were taught in yeshiva. It's not pleasant to say, but the stories probably occupy much bigger part in their spiritual life than do the actual teachings. That's par for the course. It's always been like that. So if we ask ourselves, the stories that we tell our children, what are those stories about? I'm talking about the stories, chinuch stories. So if you're chassidish, a lot of maifsim, and with a message that rebbes can do many, many nisim and flaws and maifsim, admittedly, my personal stories were short on that count, and that's okay. Hasmada learning, the Vilnagoyen, how many hours learned during the day, and Reb Zalmala, and so on and so forth. There's nefesh from mitzvahs, the Yiduka mitzvahs, where the stories like that. You will get stories about chesed and Avos Yisrael. Those are all stories that are part of our lore, a part of our Masorah, of what we teach our children. I don't know where the Olam's from. I don't know where everybody learned, it came from, and what and so on. But I would like to ask, myself included, how many stories do we tell our children about people who had temptations to do wrong in Choshen Mishpat and in Mominus, and yet overrode their temptations? I wonder. I would challenge people to go through the storybooks and to find them. How many stories are there of people who resisted and still were matzliach? And how many stories are there of people who didn't but felt good about themselves, did honestly? I want to share a story that made an impression on me as a grown-up. I had a cousin, Zechon Evracha. His name was Yisrael Ganz. His father was the Yibad HaChaim Toim Aruchim, was a Mashgiach in Shalabim, and very special person, very, very special person. His son was born with, I think, like cerebral palsy or something. I don't know exactly what it was, but limped. He had certain physical handicaps from birth. He never allowed that to stop him, never wanted to take the easy way out. Whatever everybody else had to do, I have to do. That was the person. He was 19 years old and ran to get a bus to go to yeshiva, was killed. And at his hesped, a rebbe of his said the following story. He said he was taking a test in yeshiva, and the rebbe walked by and he saw there was a question, like a multiple part question, that was blank. So he said, Yisrael, why don't you fill it in? He says, doesn't know. So he said, but it's like a 6-part question. You can probably try a few parts and you'll surely get like 2, 3, 4 right. You get partial credit. So he said, in Hebrew, obviously, he told the rebbe, he says, Ani lo chafif. I won't drain a cup. If I know it, I know it. If I don't know it, I don't know it. How many stories like that have we exposed our kids? How many times have we told our kid, you know, the grade may have not been glamorous, but it was honest. You worked hard, you did what you could, and more than anything else, that's important. How many times? I want to tell you a story that one of my Talmidim, and gave me tremendous nachas. There was a Talmud Rasi in Shiva many years ago. I wouldn't say he was the biggest masbid in Shiva. He was, let's call him Lebedik, geschmack, enjoyable, but not the person you would associate with Chavetz Chaim stories of extraordinary tzidkis. He was a geschmack, a guy, defined, but that was him. He went to work. He was single still. he was dirt poor. His father was a chinuch, is a chinuch all his life, and basically he was very poor. And he went to work as some sort of company that sold stuff on the internet, and was doing well. You know, he had parnas, was able to help his parents actually. And he calls me up one day and he says, Rebbe, I have a problem. I think that what they're doing here is dishonest. And he described it to me, and it was borderline Zela. And I was trying desperately to find some heter because I knew how poor he is. I didn't know if he had money for the next day to live on. You know, he was dirt poor. I knew he was helping his parents. And I was trying to figure out what is his role in this. Is he misagay? And I kept probing. I said, so who says this and who does this? And said, after the third or fourth question, he says, Rebbe, if this is not yashar, I'm out. I'm not looking to be a ganav with a heter. And he walked off his job. He found another job later that night, actually. But I don't want to make this into a Mephis story. I said to myself, here is somebody. I was really astounded. I was here's somebody who, you know, it didn't come out of, it came out of a very solid sense of, if it's wrong, it's wrong. I was trying to figure out how exactly do we do it. It's tough for many reasons. And I think it's Baruch Hashem, it's a challenge because there's much opportunity, and wherever there's much opportunity, there's also much issues. But being able to find, in the big picture, one would suggest speaking about halachas in a way that, in halachas and mishpat, in a way that is real, true to life. We need to be able, just like with candies and with cookies, we're able to say if it has this OU, OB, OC, whatever it is, if it has that, then that's kosher. If it's not, it's not kosher, and so on and so forth. We have a very clear and vivid impression of what it is that's us and muta. We have to find a way to do it with chosh mishpat, to give cases that are real life. It takes people who can give those cases, and also people who can translate into halacha, what you can, what you can't do. Every business is trying to sell something, and yet, what are the parameters of making something attractive? Not telling people yes, whatever they are, finding ways to learn halacha lemaisa of the parts of choshen mishpat that are relevant to what goes on in day-to-day commerce. That's what we live. Secondly, being able to find and emphasize those stories that bring out this part of it. It's just like a Rebbe who feels that his classroom is weak in tefillah is going to find stories that inspire tefillah. A Rebbe that feels his classroom is weak in Talmud Torah is going to find stories. It's true that while a child is in yeshiva, so his the Choshen Mishpat issues are relatively limited. You know, it is not dealing in so many things. But when they become relevant, it's going to be past the story stage of chinuch. Those stories of people with, you know, ironclad honesty and clear sense of mine and his and so on, it'll be late. There's no picture of that. So those are things I would suggest. And again, this is no one person going to do it, but I think if we think about it enough and consider it enough, it will be helpful. So if we go back to our original question, our Dora struggles a lot with this because we have so much opportunity and such a need to be successful by measures of where we are financially. It's an Isayan. We can't get away from that. We need not just fiery drushes about how terrible Gzela is, because I'm not sure that exactly is the problem. I mean, I think most people understand it's bad. And when they open up a newspaper and there's another picture and another story, you know, it makes us cringe. So I don't think that that's the area. I think, A, understanding the inner mechanism, if we value ourselves by this, we are going to get into it very quickly. And the minute we learn to fudge clear lines of emes hasheker, it stays as permanent damage. When a person is nichshel in avera of craving, it may stay as a need for more pleasure, but he's never distorted really inside. He knows he's wrong and terribly wrong. But when you distort those lines of right and wrong in the world of mammonis, you permanently cripple yourself. And you hear sometimes people say things, you say, they can't believe it. They can't really think that this is okay. And sometimes you just see they've gotten so used to twisting things that this is, you know, at some point it just remains twisted. And I think building those paradigms of right and wrong much more graphically than we do today. Understanding if this is an issue, we have to start early. It means creating halachic works and teachings that speak about real life situations. It's tricky. A child may not understand business dealings. Yeah, it will require a lot of thinking of how to translate it into cases that a child can understand. And secondly, being able to find those stories of Gdol Yisrael and Pasha people that stood strong with it. If you learn to build a model of a hero who this was his gvura, then I think it will give paradigms for children to follow. Those are two areas that I think may be of help as Hashem.